we're doing Shincha Talalacha Ches today. We skipped a couple. We're Halacha Ches. And the Halacha says, Kavsha Tfu Chadasha, Kavsha Yishana, if you have a Kav of Tfu from the new Tfu, Kav means to say is the Shir Chal is 5/4 of a Kav. So a Kav is the way we describe it, you have less than a Shir. So if you have less than a Shir of Tfu from new grain, and Kavsha Yishana, and a Kav, less than a Shir of Tfu of a old year, then any mitzvah. Then they're not mitzvah. I'm not going to read you the end of the din. It's actually very going to get to this, but not going to get to what we're going to talk about today. So we're just going to leave it. So what did the Shulchan Aruch say? That if you have two kavim, less than a shear of from one year's produce and less than a shear of another year's produce, they're not mitzvah to make a shear chal. Okay. So sort of like to introduce that, it's a regular rule, a general rule that Truma Meiser, you can only be mafir from each year on its own year. That means to say is, if we get watermelon seeds from Eretz Yisrael that grew in the fifth year of Shemitah, then we can only be mafresh from them on themselves. We can't be mafresh from the fifth year on the fourth year of Shemitah, or the sixth year. We can't be mafresh from one year on the other year, or you have Meiser Behemoth. So you count your Behemoths by the year that they were born in, you can't be mafresh from one year on another year. Okay, so now it did. We're talking about Hebat Chalot. So the assumption is that the same thing is for Chala also, which is Chala, as we know, is called Truma. And since it's called Truma, the regular dinam of Truma and Maisa applies to Chala. And therefore, just like Truma and Maisa can't be mafresh from one year on the other year, so too Chala can't be mafresh from one year on another year. Okay. Now, we'll get more into the details of that as we go on, but for now, we'll take that at face value. Now, as you, the last couple of halachas made it pretty clear that the din of being mafresh from one type on another type, and the din of what could be mitzuriv, those dinam are very intertwined. Okay, the things that could be mitzuriv to each other, and the things that you could be mafresh from one or the other, those go together. So our din here talks about them being mitzuriv, but the same din would be mafresh from one or the other is the same kind of a din. So if I had grain that grew in this year, it's Tavshin Ayin Hay, and I want to be mafresh from that grain on stuff that grew on Tavshin Ayin Dalad, then I would not be allowed to. Okay, that's a pretty...
Well, don't say that.
So that's why I said the Shulchan doesn't say that. But the reason why the Shulchan doesn't say that is because if you read the whole, this is halacha ches in the siman. All the other halachas until now told you that, most of the halachas in this siman told you that those dinim are intertwined. What you can be mafresh from one year on the other, and what can be mitzur if those go together. Whatever works for one works for the other. So he's talking about in this case, but it really for both parts of the din. Okay, now, this din, that you can't be mafresh from one year on the other, makes the... probably the most serious, for sure the most serious technical, but probably the most serious issue that there is with using the Tevel Matzah system. Okay, Tevel Matzah system on one year means you make matzahs that you never mafresh chul from them, you never mafresh chal from them, and then you leave those in the factory, and then you mafresh every day a little bit of that Tevel Matzah on the batters that are being made. It's a way to do remote hafreshes chal. So there's halachic issues to them. We've talked about some, and we'll talk about more in the future, but from a technical perspective, it causes the most issues. And I'm going to explain to you a little bit about what the shayla is, and then a possible way to get around it, if I could say that. Okay, and then it's like this. In the United States, we break up the wheat that we have into two types. Okay? We have winter wheat and spring wheat. Okay, if you look here on the screen, you see this, according to I forgot who, there's 11 ways to divide up how wheat grows, 11 stages that it goes through. Okay, there's different ways to break it up. It's not important for us. And the way it works is as follows. Winter wheat gets planted in the fall, okay, and it does its first, the beginning of its growth during the fall. Okay, so I called it roughly from Sukkot to Hanukkah. Then when it gets cold outside, it stops. It just stuck in what they call the tillering stage. Okay, it gets stuck there someplace. Whenever it gets too cold, it stops growing and it stays put as is. And then... Correct. And then when it gets warm again, it starts to grow again. It'll start growing again. I will pour into Shavuot's time. We'll see some more exact numbers, dates a little later. It starts growing again and it grows until Shavuot's time, and then in the summer it gets harvested. Okay, and as opposed to the other kind of wheat...
Summer?
Yeah, it harvested in the early summer. Okay, we'll talk about the dates in a second.
Summer.
I'm going to talk to you about the dates in a second. Right now, just I wrote Shavuos, okay? But we're going to talk about the exact dates that there are in a second. We'll get to the gory details in a second, okay? Spring wheat, okay, they're really more types. We're calling them winter and spring wheat. Spring wheat doesn't get planted until the spring, okay? And it gets planted roughly Pesach time, and it goes, doesn't get fully grown all the way till deeper into the summer. I wrote it Tisha B'Av. Okay, but those the dates are not exact, obviously. Okay, so
they overlap.
Most definitely, the bulk of their growth happens in the spring, in the warm weather. But the winter wheat gets planted before the winter, starts to grow a little bit, stays dormant for the whole winter, and then continues on.
You can't have one field.
No, you can't have one field with both. So the but you see,
when's the spring you get harvested?
We're going to talk about the spring in the summer.
Okay? Harvested in the summer.
Well, it goes till the Erech Tishah B'Av. I'm going to talk to you about it in a second about when they get harvested. Not so much about the spring, more about the winter. But why it gets harvested?
Every farmer has two harvests. Are you telling me
that? Not for wheat. No, you can't do that. It's one or the other. Okay, so so now just for, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. But what you see here makes it pretty clear why it is that winter wheat is always Yashan. Because winter wheat is planted in the winter. It's planted well before Pesach. It doesn't get harvested after Pesach. So it's always Russian, because by the time you get harvested, it's already, at least in the United States, it's always Russian. But there are it's always Russian because it's planted before Pesach, harvested after, as opposed to the spring wheat. It's planted right around Pesach time, depending on the year, and that's why it's potentially not Russian.
Okay. Knows about winter wheat, right?
The way things go in Eretz Yisrael is not like this. Okay, right?
It's not like what?
Doesn't go on this kind of a schedule like we have over here.
Which one, winter or spring?
I don't know how their spring wheat goes.
I'm not saying either.
Thing is like this: our wheat stops growing in the winter because it gets too cold. I don't know if it gets that cold in Eretz Yisrael to stop the growth. Ours stops dead in the tracks.
Kind of cuts it, right?
No, we actually for wheat that's true. So it's more like winter wheat.
So
maybe. I don't really know. Not our problem here, sir. So we've got to deal with us. Okay, so what happens like this? So it comes out that both of these types of wheat, if these were planted in Tashin Ayin Hay, okay, in the Tashin Ayin Hay wheat, the spring wheat, the winter wheat was harvested in the beginning of the summer. We'll talk more in a second when it was harvested. The spring wheat is being harvested right now. Okay, it'll be harvested later in the summer. And it comes to the mills who start to use it. So what that means is Tavshin Ayin Hay wheat is already being used in the summertime and starts from then on. Which means, but the Tevel Matzahs are not there yet. Okay, the Tevel Matzahs of Tavshin Ayin Hay wheat haven't shown up yet. They're not going to show up for a while. It's going to be a few months. I'll tell you in a second what it is. It's going to take a while until the Tevel Matzahs actually make it into the factory. So what's going on is that today, there are people using Tavshin Ayin Hay winter wheat. Okay, there will soon be people even using Tavshin Ayin Hay spring wheat. It's already starting. Those people who want to be Mafresh Chala with this Tevel Matzah system are being Mafresh Chala with Tevel Matzah with Tavshin Ayin Dalet. Okay, the wheat that they have is the matzah that were made almost a year ago from wheat that was harvested, that was from Tavshin Ayin Dalet wheat. So they're using that. They want to use that to be Mafresh Chala. Okay, well, you can't do that. You can't be Mafresh Chala from one year on the next year. So they have every year, this group, this is an every single year problem, that for a couple of months in the summer, towards the end of the summer, they only have Tevel Matzahs from the old wheat, and they're already using the new wheat. Okay? That's in a nutshell what the problem is. We'll talk about some details now. But that's the issue that there is. It's a very, very serious practical issue. Okay? We're not talking about halachas, whether you could use the Tevel Matzah system. It's practically, you have the wrong year as produce. You can't be mafresh from one of the other.
So the problem is with the winter wheat.
It's primarily a problem with the winter wheat. Okay? It's not only, it's primarily a problem with the winter wheat. The spring wheat tends to come to the bakeries around the time when they're getting the Tevel Matzahs. But
you could get winter wheat from the new year and use it for the spring wheat for this year already.
Yeah, but I'm saying, the spring wheat is already starting to come to some bakeries already. The Tevel Matzahs haven't shown up yet. Oh. But the difference between when the spring wheat shows up, the spring wheat comes to the bakeries closer to when they get the Tevel Matzahs. Before. But the winter wheat comes considerably before. I'm going to tell you in a second. Give me a second. I'm going to explain to you why. But that's the lamaisa, is that they're not making it. Okay? So now, let's look at some dates for when things grow. Okay? Now what it is like this. We're gonna see information here mainly from one part of the USDA. Okay? Baruch Hashem, our government has tracked a million things. Okay? And they have a report that explains, they actually have reports week by week of how much is harvested in every state from every state of every crop. What I'm gonna show you now is not based on that. I actually had the data. I didn't finish the slide set, so I'm not showing you that. But this is based on a different report the government gives of the Erech on a regular year, when does each state harvest? Okay, that's what I'm giving to you. And I didn't do it for every state, because some of them are silly. They might harvest nothing. What you're going to see here is for the states that produce The main ones you're going to see are 60% of U.S. production, and it actually expands like 75%. Okay, when do these people usually harvest? Now, the way it works is like this. The winter wheat, everyone plants it in the fall. When does it start growing again? When it gets warm. So what happens is, whoever gets warm weather first, their winter wheat starts growing first. Okay, so the southern states start, their winter wheat starts regrowing faster than the northern states. Okay, so the winter wheat in the south is growing faster, earlier, than as you go further north into colder climates. Second of all, well, sort of related to that, is that the people in the southern states grow most of the winter wheat in the United States. They do most of the growing. It sort of goes together, but they do, as opposed to the spring wheat grows in the northern states, like North Dakota and Montana. Like, those are the colder places, they grow spring wheat. The winter wheat grows in the southern states, you'll see in a second. It grows more in the southern states because they have, their climate is more appropriate for that. Okay, so now, the three states that make the most. Okay, I'll leave that for you. Okay, so the here's what it looks like. This is for a standard year. This is not DAFKA for this year. Okay, this is for a standard year. Okay, if you look here, oh, I didn't realize it was going so fast by itself. Okay, I didn't realize it was going by itself. You're looking here at the states that make the bulk, the 60% of the wheat that's made, and you see as Texas, okay, I forget all my states over here. Texas, Oklahoma, these states on the bottom that are the warmest, okay, that are the warmest, are producing themselves between them an awful lot of the wheat. Move up a few more states. Between these bunch of states over here, these group of states over here, we have, you can count up the numbers, double do the math for us. But the bulk of this stuff is being harvested in the end of June, into the July, the middle of July, which is to say that But as we move to the middle of the summer, this stuff is all... We lost something. What happened? Oh, no way, that's why. I'm sorry. Okay, I filled in another few states without the percentage. These states over here in the southeast, these ones make a smaller percentage, but you see how the colors go. You see how the colors go, that the people in the south, their stuff comes harvested earlier. In the end of June, they're already harvesting. They're already finishing the harvest in the end of June. I have the numbers this year. I'm sorry. I didn't make it into a slide. But what goes on in the warmer states, it ripens faster. Well, that makes sense. Now,
what are the dark gray states?
They're nothing. They're just blank. I didn't fill in the information. Each of those states makes tiny amounts of the crop. I just didn't bother doing all the coloring. Okay. So now, that's how it's produced. Now, how do you make tevel matzahs? How do you make tevel matzahs? They go to a bakery, they go to a matzah baker, and they say, "Mr. Matzah Bakery, please make matzahs out of tevel." Okay, there's four reasons why the winter wheat comes to market long before the tevel matzahs. It's sort of built into the system. It's not by anybody's fault. It's like built into the system, and the reasons are as follows. First of all, as you see, the winter wheat comes that grows first is in the southern states. Okay, well, guess what? There are no matzah bakeries in Arkansas. Okay, the matzah bakeries are in the northeast. Okay, so the natural place for those matzah bakery to get winter wheat from is from somebody local whose their wheat comes to market so much later. So it's sort of built in that they're
still. Get a truck.
I didn't say they can't, but it's built in that they're. Automatically, their mindset is to have wheat that comes a little bit later because that's the whole mindset is we don't get...
The rest of the bakery, they're also not using
money. Right, but if there's a bakery in Dallas that's owned by a Yid, he's getting wheat from nearby. The tevel matzah is not going to be... The tevel matzah said, we're waiting for the wheat, didn't show up yet. Okay, that's one thing. Second is, when a mill grinds their flour, they send it to different people. It goes first goes to you, and then to you, and then to you. Okay, well, the matzah bakery, La Dafke, is the first customer. I don't know how they decide who gets first and who gets second, but in order for the matzah bakery to have their tevel matzah ready, they would have to be the very first one to get the new winter wheat. If on Monday, the first truck goes out to this company, and on Tuesday it goes to the matzah bakery, well, the matzah bakery is already a day behind. Okay? And so, but they may not be the first or second or third, they may be the tenth. Okay? That's the second reason. Okay. Now, more to the mice of how you make matzah is, this is how matzah bakeries work. Machine matzah bakeries. They start making, they make their Pesach matzahs during the winter, and getting ready for Pesach. For months and months, they make matzah. Come around Pesach time, they start making chametz tikka matzah. Okay, they start making matzah for Pesach. They start making chametz tikka matzah and crackers and all kinds of other things that they make that belong on that line that are chametz tikka. Then comes, they finish that in the summer. Comes the summer, they close the factory. it's time to do maintenance, give everybody a vacation, and then they kasher the factory back again. And then comes again the fall, and they start again making Pesach. They start making matzah for Pesach. That's a schedule in a matzah bakery. Okay, so that means is they're not even if the first flour was ready at the end of June, they're not ready to make matzah at the end of June. Okay, then that's not where they're holding it. They're not ready to make the tevel matzah until the fall. In fact, this year the tevel matzah is going to be made. We're on the right day. It's being made. The schedule is to make it on Tzom Gedalia. Someone told me the day afterwards. It's being made on Tzom Gedalia this year. It's September 16th, in a few days from now, September 16th. So that means that there was winter wheat that was harvested at the end of June. The matzah bakery didn't get around to finishing what they had to do in kashrut until now, and Tzom Gedalia, right? It's Rosh Hashanah. They're going to start making the tevel matzahs. Okay, so that means that since the end of June, there was harvested already other winter wheat, and now we're waiting. It's going to be September before they start baking the tevel matzahs.
When do you get to rye?
Okay, we'll talk about that next time. Okay, hold that in place. That's the second part we're going to talk about. And the last piece is that even the day, let's say on Tzom Gedalia, they go ahead and make the tevel matzahs, either Tzom Gedalia or the next day, they bake the tevel matzahs. Okay, that's not the end of the story. Those tevel matzahs have to actually make it to the factories. The mashgiach's got to stand there and say the whole special nusach and get it started again, that these tevel matzahs should be used for hafrasha. Well, guess what? Between Tzom Gedalia, until that's going to happen, it's not going to happen the next day. There's going to be, there's going to be delay because of all the yom tovim. It has to get shipped to the OU office, and then it has to get from the OU office out to all the people. Then you got a mashgiach, you got to go out there and say the whole nusach. So we're delaying ourselves further to the lamaisa is, it's not going to be October or November until that tevel matzah shows up. Okay? So because of these four reasons, the matzah is inherently not going to make it there in time. The first people already baking, the first milling, first harvesting is happening at the end of June, and people are not getting tevel matzahs for months and months later on. Okay? This, now, realize, all of this is only for people who use tevel matzah. If you use good old-fashioned hafrasha shkal in your house, you make a batter, whatever it is, whatever's in the bag, you make the flour, you pull it off, okay, you mavar shkal, you just take it the way it is, okay? If you do the way we try to do, which is to use tevel dough, not tevel matzah, tevel dough means, as you say, is you go to the bakery and say, bakery, I need to know when you're getting in the new flour, they always do, they know it, it's important to them, it's a significant change, so if the mashgiach remembers, he goes to the bakery, to the bakery, I need to know when you're getting the new winter wheat, and then I need to know again when you're getting the new spring wheat. And when you do that, we're going to make a batter made up of that stuff, and then we'll be mafrik by ourselves.
Most bakers have no idea.
Most bakers have no idea? Okay. That's not my experience, but I guess you know more than I do about bakers. But
well, they get different kinds of flowers. This flour has this flour.
That's true. But it is an event in particular about the spring flour, because the protein level is very significant. So this year's grain went 12%, and next year's went 12.5%. So that makes a difference in a bakery, and they should know. Okay. My question was that they know. Okay, so now the third issue that I told you, which was that the matzah bakery doesn't get around to doing matzah until Tzom Gedalia, so they had an eitzah. They said, okay, we'll find a little bakery, we'll make crackers, we'll make a little special production of crackers. It only dealt with the third issue. The first, second, and fourth, it didn't help. They made a special little batch of crackers that were going to be tevel in some little bakery, not a real matzah bakery. Okay, what?
Well, not a bakery in the town.
So they actually didn't. The bakery was not in the south, it was in the northeast. And also, once they made these special crackers, they said, to send them to all the factories and tell the Rosh Kichon to make the whole nusach. It wasn't worth it. They just left it in the office and they were makar shloim and mukav, which is not very good either. Okay, we'll talk about that one day, why that's really not so great. They said, I mean, it works for the avid, but it's not really very great.
It has to be kosher Pesach without sugar?
It doesn't have to be, but they want it to be kosher Pesach, because then it could last. Remember, this is going to a Jewish-owned company, so they want it to be kosher Pesach.
They want to use matzahs because it could clean them around.
Right. Well, he's saying, why can't you use chametz matzahs? Okay, but... Well, then you have to remember Shalom. Okay, we run through... Okay, so now... because of... I forgot to tell you one thing, I'm sorry. Next little pictures, I'm sorry. There is... When we say that people things are harvested at the end of June, that doesn't mean that the day they harvest it, someone's using it. Okay, there's really a couple of stages that happen. Okay, first, you have to harvest grain. Okay, you have to harvest it. Then the next thing is it has to sweat. Okay, I don't know what that means, but they said it has something to do with, that's the people from the mill told me, it has something to do with the moisture level getting right before they're ready to mill. They don't mill it right away when it shows up. It takes a few weeks till it sweats and they're ready.
Is there moisture on it? Is that a shallow chimitz?
I don't know. I didn't think about that question. I think they mean moisture within the grain itself. I'm not sure. Then they mill it, and then it's got to be delivered. Okay, then it's got to go off to the company. So there is a delay. Okay, but for example, I'll give you an example. We have a hashgacha on a company in Michigan, Who's my paper? We are a Hashgacha Do company in Michigan. Okay, Michigan is one of the later states. It's pretty cold in Michigan. Okay, I forgot. Okay, Michigan's harvest didn't start until July 16th. Okay, that's what they told me. They didn't start, basically, they weren't really started until July 16th of this year. That's what the people in the mill told me. He said, and by the beginning of September, some of the mills were already producing 100% new wheat. That's what they were selling to their customers. Okay? So that's like
winter wheat.
So July 16th is when the harvest began. I'm not talking about that it was finished. The harvest began. So let's say the harvest was finishing up by the beginning of August, the middle of August, and then it took a little bit of, there was a little delay for all these couple of steps over here. So, by September 1st, there were some of the mills that worked for this company were providing 100% new winter wheat. Okay, so that means it. So there's a delay. There's a certain amount of delay from the harvest, a couple of weeks. But it's very possible that once the harvest happens, so pick your day when you want your harvest to happen. If your harvest happens in the middle of July, then, see, pack it here. You see they're called Michigan at the end of July. I didn't realize I had it on the picture there. Okay, which is what she said. It started really in July 16th, and I guess it was finishing at the end of July. But and then a month later, it was already, people were using that.
See, typically, a bakery in a state uses flour from mills from its own state.
Local, I don't think that if that goes by statewide, but it's logistically.
It's not like stuff that's being shipped.
Of course it does. But I'm saying it's a logistical thing that things go roughly by where they are. No, but it's not 100%. You're right. A place in Dallas could be getting wheat from Montana, but like, what's the sense? All the wheat grows in the South. Look at the numbers here. Why would I go to Washington State?
That place in Texas getting cream from California.
Okay. I didn't say this. No, I didn't. By noon. By noon. Okay, now. Okay, so now. What happened is, I'm going to leave this picture up here. Okay, that's my last picture to show you guys. Pay up the numbers. So, This is a very serious issue, okay? And it's the reason why, mind you, it's the practical reason why lots of people, there are people who don't want to use Tevamatz, okay? So came along, Rebelsky came and had an idea, he had a chiddush, a mamash, a real chiddush, two chiddushim together, to say why it's not as good as you think, okay? Now, you'll hear that there's a lot of questions on what he had to say, and Rabbi Shachter wrote to that, his kedai hu yididein, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, lismach lov akol panam b'chaz chutzart b'shas adcha. Okay, that's what he wrote. So he's like, wait, what are we going to do? Like, so we're sort of stuck. So do whatever we can, and we'll be samachan b'shas adcha. Okay, so like this, I said to you at the beginning that the reason why you can't be mafreshala from 1 year's produce on another. What's the reason? It's because when it's just like truma. Chal is called truma in the Torah. Just like truma, you can't be mafresh one year and the other. So too chala. Okay, well, there's a question on that. Chala is really different than truma miser. And the difference is like this. When something grows, let's say wheat grows, its chayiv in trumas or miser very much depends on what it grew. Basically, it's chayiv as soon as it grows. Not exactly, but basically it's chayiv when it grows. So we say, the year that it grew in is the year that it's chayiv in chalach. So we could say, don't be marvish from this year's on the next year's or on last year's. But chalach is different from that. I'm sorry, when I say, the marvish truma. But in truma, chalach is different than that, that when wheat grows, it's not chayiv in a fashas chalach. You only chayiv in a fashas chalach when you make a batter out of it. So there's a logic that says, you know, maybe the din of Mishon al Chaverta from being mafresh from one year on the other is different for challah than everything else. It's true that challah is called truma, but truma semaisers depend on when things grow, because when they grow, they become chayiv and truma semaisers. But when they grow, they don't become chayiv and challah. Grains of wheat that grow aren't chayiv and challah until you make batters out of them. So maybe the din of Mishon al Chaverta either shouldn't apply, or maybe it should apply when you make the batter. Okay, we should make up a new din. Mishana Chaverta should depend on when you made the batter. Okay? Now, that in itself would be its own complication. And then we'd sit there, you know, on Tzom Gedalia, instead of baking tevel matzahs, we'd be running around switching everybody's tevel around. Okay, but that, of course, not the din. Okay, but the question, maybe it's possible. Should we consider that maybe the din of Mishana Chaverta shouldn't apply to challah because the year of when it grew doesn't really make a difference? There is a makar to say that midaraisa is really no problem to be mafresh from one year on the next. Okay, even though I told you that you're not allowed to be mafresh, there is a little basis that there is a reason to think that you're allowed to be, and that's as follows. What we have in our din here that tkasha tul chadasha and tkasha yishan, that's a mishnah, and the yishan is a kasha on that mishnah. Okay, I'm going to tell you now the yishan is kasha on that mishnah. The mishnah said They're not mature. If you have a less than a share of 1 year and less than a share of another, you're touching each other, they're not mature to one another. In fact, you found me. Wait a second. Don't you remember we said that if you have different grains that cannot be mature, they're not the times that, let's say, wheat and spelt. Wheat and spelt are climbs that they can't be mature with one another. But there's a special din b'chala. It says in the Torah, Arisa Sechem. Arisa Sechem teaches us that if the batters look alike, they can be mitzorif. Even though the din is, even though their climbs that they can't really be mitzorif, if they don't have a shear, then there's a secondary way to be mitzorif. If you learned about from the earlier din, there's a secondary way to be mitzorif called Arisa Sechem. They can be mitzorif because they look alike. So, Frek Yushami, if wheat and spelt, which are climbs that they're really not allowed to be mitzorif, but they can be mitzurif if they don't have a shear. If you won't have a shear with that, you could be mitzurif because they look alike. You tell me, wheat from this year and wheat from last year, they for sure look alike. It's the same thing. Wheat and wheat, it's the same thing. So if you're going to say that wheat and spelt can be mitzurif, then of course wheat and wheat can be mitzurif. So how could the Mishnah say that wheat from this year is not mitzurif with wheat from last year? Why are you saying that? It should be mitzurif off the din of Baris Sechem. It's not mitzurif on the, sort of, the first pass, but the second pass should tell us that it's mitzurif because they look alike. Okay, that's your shaman's kasha. Yushalmi says, you're right. It's true. Really, midrash they could be mature. But midrashbanan they're not mature. Midrash they'd be mature just like wheat and spelt. Midrashbanan they're not mature. Why? Av who suffer loymar. People who see you being marfish from this battle will think shetarminu ma'asim yizalzeh. It'll confuse people. People will see that you put 1 year, 2 years produce together and you mitzar of them and you, all of a sudden you could be mafresh from one or the other. They'll think, you could be mafresh chum or mice like that also. That's too confusing for people. So the chum said, midrabanan, you're not allowed to assume they're mature because it'll confuse people that chum is a mice. That's what the Yushalmi says. Okay. So that is to say, if you look in the Pesukim here on this din, midraisa really the kav shetu chadosh, the kav shetu yishoner, midraisa is mature. And that has nafka minas to it. Midrabanan is not mature. People will say, Afu Savalam, people will say, Shetarman Ma'asmi Zarasa. So, Rabowski says, you know what Yushalmi just said? Yushalmi just turned over the whole din. And it said, you thought, when you opened up the Mishnah, you thought that there's such a din, Mishamal Chaverta, Midraisa, by Chala, just like by all of the Chumas. It's a mistake. There's no such din b'chlal midraisa. There's no din of mishana chaverta. The whole thing is a big mistake. Because, like I said beforehand, there's no problem mishana chaverta because it has to do when you make the batter. It doesn't make a difference when it grew. So why are you not doing mishana chaverta? Why do we always know that you're not? That's a mission now to do it. That's all midrabanan. The whole din is a din drabanan. Midraisa, the whole thing, there's no issue to be mafish from one year on the other one. The whole thing is a din drabanan. Okay, that's part one of what Bell's gets to say. I'm going to get back to that in a second, if we think that we understand that or we don't understand it. But the first part is, he says, when Yerushalmi says, Af Hu Sarva Loimer, in other words, it's a Din Drabanan, it means it's always a Din Drabanan. The whole Din of Tarman Masmi Zaz is a whole Din Drabanan. That's part one. So also Din Drabanan.
Fachal.
Only Fachal, not for Chumash Maisa. But because there's a confusion, only Fachal. No, so, okay. There's no cool. The place can speak out. We're at least too cool. You have to be machmir on it, even though it doesn't say it in the Mishnah. Okay? You have to deal with the rice like this. Okay. Now, part two of it, what he has to say is, he says, so, the whole chash of afu savalam, the term in Maastrian, that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they take Trumas and Maastrian. But you live in Chicago, what's the problem? Who's gonna worry about being mafresh? Who's gonna learn from here? You can be mafresh chumas and maisim from 1 year on the next. Nah, no one's gonna learn that. That's Eretz Yisrael the problem. It's not a chutzar the problem. So Mamela, the Yushami tells us the whole din of Mishana Chaverta Bachala, that's a din midrabanan, it's not din deraisa. Well, if it's only din drabanan, that din drabanan doesn't apply in chutzar, it's only chal of Eretz Yisrael, where there's a problem with chumas and maisim. But in chutzar, it doesn't apply. And therefore, we don't have to worry about Mishana Chaverta in chutzar, Bachala, we don't have to worry about it. Okay, so the second part, we're going to go out of order. The second thing that he said is amazingly unbelievable. I mean, it's like to think that the din is that Mishana Chaverta doesn't apply in Chutzar, and nobody until now, this is actually one person says it, but nobody until now woke up to say that. What happened? It says in Shulchan Aruch, Tav Shetu Chadash, and no one says, but Chutzar doesn't apply. Where is everybody saying? I mean, everybody lives in Chutzar. Lots of people live in Chutzar. Where is everyone saying this whole Cheshman?
This is a bush in Shulchan Aruch, and nobody says it.
Why? Of course! Nobody's, yes! Nobody! Where's everybody?
One of the Tamil Chazal said, for a guy who's writing that different stick of Torah,
yes!
There's some
I didn't say there is nobody, but basically there's nobody. You know, you open up the book over here, you look at it, no one says that, no one's talking about it, it should be, it's right, halacha l'maaseh, right? No one's saying anything like that. No one does. So this second half of the Chiddush is truly hard to imagine. I mean, how can you say that the din is that this whole thing doesn't apply to Chutz Lartz, and nobody knew about it, okay? It was a secret until we ran into this problem with Tevel Matzah. Nobody knew about it, okay? So, because that's the second part. That's Mamash, like, hard to get. But the first part, let's go back to the first part. What did Rebelski say? When the Gemara said, Afu Sarva Leimer, it really needs to say is, the whole din is a din to Rabbanon that they can't be Mamash Chal from one year to the next. Now, that's not the way most people would have read Yerushalmi. Again, the Yerushalmi said this. The regular din of Tiruv says, Mishana Chavar, it's obvious you can't do that Midaraisa. Frank Yerushalmi, but ask the second way to be Mafresh, when there's not a shear, then you should be allowed to be Mafresh, because just like wheat and spelt on the Tzuruf, when they're not supposed to be, so too this year's and last year. And to that second question, we say, you're right, Arisha Sechem would apply from one year on the next year. But the din of the regular din, when you have a shear challah, no one said when you had a shear challah that it should work Midaraisa. It's only when you didn't have a shear challah that the rules are more flexible when you don't have a shear challah. So when you have a shear challah from each part, no one said that. Yerushalmi didn't say that. Yerushalmi did back with the regular din deraisa. The whole Yerushalmi is talking about when you have the second in a Arisa Sechem. So now, when we're talking about using Tevel Matzahs, we're talking about that each batter has a shir challah. The batter in the bakery has a shir challah. That's why they're being mafresh challah. The bakery, the Tevel Matzahs had a shir challah. That's why the Tevel Matzahs. So when there's a shir challah, there's no reason to think that doesn't work. That would work with deraisa. The whole clear of the Yerushalmi was, now that it can't work with the Raisa from the regular Tziruf, but there's a secondary way to be Mitzuruf, which is called Arisa Sechem, that works, that's really flexible, it's all kinds of things to be Mitzuruf. So how about Mishana HaChaverta? You're like, okay, you're right, that would happen with Mishana HaChaverta. But to say that the regular thing, why would anybody think that? True, but it doesn't work from one year to the next. So now, Rebelski has a little riot, what he has to say. The riot is from the Tosis. That the Gemara says this. The Gemara says that the din is that Chalat's tummy, you can't burn it on. Challah would be tummy, you wouldn't be allowed. There's a problem. Challah is something you're supposed to burn. If it's Shemitah, our last chance to talk about Shemitah, it's almost the end. If challah, if it would become tummy, you're supposed to burn it. Well, what happens if you have challah during Shemitah? You can't burn the challah that's tummy during Shemitah. So the Yerushalmi, the Gemara, it's Gemara in Bukharis, the Gemara says, well, maybe it's impossible to be mafresh challah on. You shouldn't be mechuyev to be mafresh challah on shemitah because it's not possible because it might become tummy and then you'd have to burn it, which you wouldn't be allowed to. Okay, but the Gemara's question is not so important to us. What the details are, but the point that the Gemara makes is there would be no way to be mafresh challah on shemitah because you may have to burn it and you wouldn't be allowed to. In fact, Tosis, I don't know what you mean. I could be mafresh challah on shemitah. What's the problem? So Tosis, we could say is. And to give you the words. The fact that Yochel Lahafish Me'is Acheris She'ena Shal Shvias Al Zois. I understand, I made a batter than Shemitah with Shemitah wheat. I'm Mafish from a batter that's She'ena Shal Shemitah. I'm Mafish from a batter that's She'ena Shal Shemitah, and I can be Mafish from that on this. And that stuff doesn't have Kedusha Shvias. There's nothing wrong with burning that stuff. So what does this mean when he said, I'll be Mafish from a batter She'ena Shal Shemitah, She'ena Shal Shvias on this one? Me'is Acheris. What do you mean, I'll be Mafish from Is Acheris? So Rabelski says, what he means is, I'll take fruits from the sixth year. Okay, we're talking here on the derisa level. All Gemara's on the derisa, not the rabban level. So the Gemara means it's easy to be marvish. Take wheat from the sixth year, make up a batter, and be marvish on this, and there won't be a problem with Kedusha Shvias. Okay? And in fact, the Tur Yevon, when he brings this Tosis, like sort of in passing, understands it that way. Okay, that what Tosis means is to be marvish from a different batter, he means it's from a different batter from a different year. So Rabelski says, see? Because there's nothing wrong with the derisa being marvish from one year on the other one. But the other Paiskim don't accept that reading of Tosis. Okay, the Marid al-Ghazi brings his Tosis. He says, what is he talking about? He says, what is Tosis talking about? You're Mavish from a different year? You can't be Mavish from a different year. No such thing. Of course you can't be Mavish from a different year, from one year on another year. That's obvious you can't do that. Marid al-Ghazi says, no, you're misreading Tosis. What Tosis means is when he says, you'll be Mavish, Yochel Havash Me'is Acher She'enish Shvias, he means is, the din is by Chalot, that grain from Chutz La'aretz that comes to Eretz Yisrael, and you make the batter in Eretz Yisrael, it's chayiv in challah as if challah is Eretz Yisrael. It's not challah Chutz La'aretz. He says, so if you bring wheat from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, you can make up a batter in Eretz Yisrael, and then you can mafresh from that on this stuff. Okay, it doesn't have to be you can do this every day. It just has to be physically possible. He said, you'll take it from Chutzar. It grew in the same year. It grew in Kansas during Shemitah. You bring it to Eretz Yisrael, and there you make it into flour. So it's Chayav L'Chal and Eretz Yisrael. And they're both seventh-year produce. One has Kedusha Shviyas and one doesn't. So when Tyson said, Yachol Havash Me'is Acher She'ena Shal Shviyas, he was particular. He wasn't She'ena Shal Shamazu. He means She'ena Shal Shviyas. It's from this year. Just it didn't grow during Shemitah. They have Kedusha Shviyas to it, because it grew in Kansas. Okay? That's what Tysus must mean. And there are others that give other similar answers. Could have grown from places in Eretz Yisrael that belong to Goyim. Okay? They have Kedusha Shviyas. It could have grown, the rules for what's the seventh year for Shemitah and what's the seventh year for Challah are almost the same, but not exactly the same. It's possible that a grain could grow in the seventh year and be a seventh year for Challah, but not a seventh year for Shemitah. So, or the other way around. It's possible that if the same stalk has a din of a seventh year for this and a sixth year for that. So you can get grain that grew in Shemitah that's seventh year Challah-wise, but it's not seventh year Shemitah-wise. Okay? The other answer is like that. When Tyson said he didn't mean you could mark from the sixth year on the seventh year. He meant it as the seventh year on the seventh year. But there are hesitances of how you can get produce of the seventh year that doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas that you can mark from the seventh. Okay? So, just to summarize. Now I'll be mavrish from one year to the next. Everyone agrees that. You can't mavrish challah from one year, it's a mission, you can't mavrish challah from one year's produce on another year's produce. It inherently causes a problem for people who want to use the Tevel Matzah system, because the New Year's grain, the Tavshin Ayin Hei grain, is already in the market. It came already starting from the end of June, beginning of July, it's starting to come to the market. It hit 50%, Lynn, in your question, this year it hit 50% about July 4th. Okay, by July 4th, about half of the stuff was from the new year, and yet the Tevel Matzahs are not going to be coming to bakeries, obviously not until the middle of September, because it hasn't even been made yet, but probably realistically not until the middle of October or until November. So we have an automatic break of months when we don't have the right year's produce, we don't have the right shana to be mafresh, so we want to use this system. Okay? The same thing applies on a smaller scale to the spring wheat, but it's more of an issue for the winter wheat, it's a longer stretch of time. So Radovsky had this two-part finish, both of which we had a hard time understanding. And again, because of this, seriously doesn't use this. And we don't use the system because this is a technical problem that we don't feel comfortable using the system, which leaves us hanging basically high and dry for a couple months a year.